You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's time for the hard-hitting analysis you won't find anywhere else.
Here's former Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus
and Bobby Belt.
10-5 victory! Cowboys win!
This is Love of the Star.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. That's your radio flagship home of the Dallas Cowboys. Joined as always by former Super Bowl winning NFL scout Brian Broaddus. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation, 2 to 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday on 105.3 The Fan. He is also the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bobby. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I think we're all reaching a little bit of a Odell Beckham burnout, a little bit of fatigue.
Well, wait a minute, real quick.
Yeah.
All right. Is it called burnout when you're learned exactly what the situation is?
I think burnout just for the discussion around it. Like, we've reached a point where it's like, we've talked so much about him, and I think and we'll talk about this a little bit next segment. I think the players have reached a point where they're tired of being asked about it.
Oh no, I understand. I understand that everybody's tired of the situation, but sure. it was a good story, but what happened was what trainers and doctors around the league warned us about.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, who cleared this guy? And number two, what's the injury? We get to see the injury now. So, I mean, you had that moment where Jay Glazer cleared him, and trainers and doctors around the league were going, who cleared him? What team cleared him?
Right.
We didn't clear him. You know, that's, and now we're starting to hear that possibility of it doesn't sound good for his knee. It doesn't sound like that he is really, really ready. It sounds like that he needs more time. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. That's what he's going to need. And everybody was waiting for this. And now it's like, oh, we had all this buildup for this. And, you know, it's a definite story. Because if Odell Beckham was healthy and had the opportunity, or he had rehabbed to where he was really ready, like guys like Jay Glazer said, and who later Ian Rapoport had to come out and Adam Schefter come out and said, well, he's not ready yet, but it could be this time. He needs several more weeks.
Yeah.
See, what happens is we've all learned now that the knee's not right. And there's a little bit of that fatigue of, oh, okay. I asked your buddy Jane Slater this question today on 105.3 The Fan. I said, do you think Jerry's disappointed? I'll ask you the same question. You think Jerry's disappointed?
Yeah.
Of the information he got?
I think Jerry's massively disappointed. And I'll here. I mean, we can just go ahead and touch on the Odell thing for this segment, I think, because here's the thing with the Odell is that clearly the medical came back.
It doesn't have to be a full segment, but
I wanted to do a full segment on it. I was just thinking we do it in the next one, but I got the ball rolling. I referenced it. And so, I mean, I'm fine doing it now, because here's the thing is that I think it's unlikely he plays anywhere this year because of what he wants and when he would be ready. Micah Parsons told us today that Odell Beckham Jr. told him 5 more weeks. That would be basically the beginning of the playoffs, which is what Josina Anderson had been saying in the last couple days. And so I think that I would say that maybe into the future it happens, but I would say for this year, I'm going to say, I don't know, 99% it doesn't happen here in Dallas. The 1% is if Jerry lets his heart overrule his head and he's just fallen in love with the player and he just kind of goes rogue. That's the one little sliver I'll give for it to happen this year, because I think if Jerry weren't involved in this decision, I think the Cowboys would have already written this off, and it would have it wouldn't have even gone into a day two. I think it's done. And the fact that Jerry does have such a strong, the word, it sounds extreme, but I promise you behind closed doors, this is the word to use. He has an affection for that player and what he thinks that player represents and what that player could mean to the Cowboys this year, what that player could potentially mean to his own legacy post Jimmy Johnson. I think he's like, when you describe the fans and that heartbreak of like, oh, now it's not good, I think Jerry feels the same as the fan base does.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So that's why I asked the question, because I think that Jerry Jones, I think the Cowboys played this one right. I'm not giving them any lip from me about them doing anything wrong here. We talked about this when it first started. You have to recruit this kid. They recruited. It started with the owner, general manager. It worked with the coach. It went with the players, locker room. Everybody started recruiting this kid.
Yeah.
And then what happened? They found out the knee's not right. So there's some natural disappointment. I think the guy that's the most disappointed is Jerry Jones, because I believe he gave Steven the I'm not going to say it's ultimatum. I think he gave Steven the direction, like, let's see if we can get this done. Steven Jones then comes on 105.3 and says, we're going to roll up our sleeves. Every time I've ever been around Steven Jones and he said, I'm going to roll up my sleeves, that's like his buzz phrase to get something done. And I think that he was going to try and get this one done for Jerry. I really, really do. But then when the medical came back, now the reality set in. Even Jerry, you know, it's about, for the Cowboys, it's not about 2023, because his team, the conference, everything could be completely different. It's about right now. It's about no Aaron Rodgers. It's about San Francisco playing with a backup quarterback. It's about Tampa Bay being 6-6 right now. It's about Philadelphia, who you went to Philadelphia, had 3 turnovers and almost still won that football game with a backup quarterback. You know, that's how Jerry Jones is looking at this thing. And he's thinking Odell Beckham could have helped us. If Odell Beckham was smart, and he's an LSU guy, so that's in question. I know, I'm an LSU guy.
Hey, Jerry Jones told us on Tuesday, raved about his brilliance, called his brilliance.
I love Odell Beckham. But the smartest thing Odell Beckham should do right now is that he should have signed and said, okay, I'll help you here, Jerry. Veteran minimum this year for these last 4 games, 5 games, whatever, and come and work with Britt Brown and see this rehab through to the end. And see, we say 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, you know, whatever number that is. Mm-hmm. Come in, take the veteran minimum, and see if Britt Brown can get you ready in 3 weeks. See if he can get it to the point where, hey, we're close on this. You know, you come in and you because we've seen what Britt Brown has been able to do through the years of working with the Dallas Cowboys. We've seen what he's been able to do for Dak Prescott. You know, recently for Michael Gallup. You know,
for
Tyron Smith. Damone Clark, we've seen what he could do when he gets his hands on players.
Yep.
So if you're Odell Beckham, you're like, okay, I'll take the veteran minimum. I'll get paid. And I'll see if I can rehab this thing like it needs to be done the right way. And then, you know, trust me, I'm not saying that the people in New Jersey or Miami or Arizona, whoever's doing his rehab, I'm not saying they're not good people or great rehab specialists. I'm saying I know that guy in the Cowboys gets people back on the field. That's what I know. And if this deal was done when Jay Glazer said it the 1st of November, you might have Odell Beckham ready to play right now. You might have him ready to play.
Which can we be – we can be direct about something, I think. Jay Glazer, you could consider a confidant of the Cowboys front office.
Stephen Jones and also the head coach, yes.
Yeah. Do you think that he was telling the Cowboys a similar thing as what he said on the air? And do you think that the Cowboys, that's part of their confidence that they started exploring it, is because they may have gotten that same sort of line?
No, I think they were in a situation where, you know, they were coming back with their quarterback and their wide receiver room. It wasn't until everything started to be mentioned about Odell Beckham that these wide receivers start playing their ass off. You know, I mean, we go back and you look at that November 1st, and there was the Chicago game, and there were buys, and there were, you know, there's all Green Bay. I mean, look what our guy CeeDee Lamb did to Green Bay. Look what he did after that buy. You know, when things started being mentioned about Odell Beckham, these receivers as a whole, and Jane Slater was on with us today on the G-Bag Nation talking about that. That's a legitimate question. When it came up about Odell Beckham, all these receivers all of a sudden are like, yeah, we'd love to have him. Yeah, we'd love to have him. Yeah, we'd love to have him. But deep down inside, they're like, yeah, we need to play better here. Yeah, we need to like make more plays. The last five games, I would say it would be hard-pressed to find a better player on this football team than CeeDee Lamb. Maybe Pollard, but you would be hard pressed to find somebody that's played better than CeeDee Lamb once all this Odell Beckham news started coming down the road. So I think that, you know, I think this was a situation where they were not playing great at wide receiver. They just weren't. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, light bulb goes off. Or, you know, your quarterback's health starts to come back. You know, he's starting to throw the ball better. You know, he was making better decisions, better plays, you know. So I think there's some things involved. The quarterback started playing better. The wide receiver started playing better. The offensive coordinator started calling better plays. You know, there's some things that have been very, very positive to the point where you're like, they really don't need Odell Beckham. But they, in my opinion, yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that dumb Green Bay game when it was 4th and 3. I know I keep bringing that up, but if you throw the ball to Odell Beckham 4 to 6 times a game, I guarantee you 4 to 6 of those plays are probably going to be pretty big plays. So
yeah, I think healthy Odell Beckham still makes this team better.
Sure.
So I don't think it would have been just a total waste if you found out he was healthy. Here's the thing that I think is interesting. It's because we talk about the burnout from fans and some people in general at times.
I think it's not burnout. I think it's disappointment.
I think it is disappointment. I think it's also where they just kind of go like, give me, like, I think they're tired of the Odell Beckham like emoji tweets. And it's just like, just tell
us two things. There's two things. There's the people that are disappointed he wasn't healthy enough. And there's the people who didn't want him here to begin with. They're saying, I told you so. That's the two lines of thoughts. You were on the side of bringing him here, or you're like, hey, they don't need him. You know, that's how I saw it.
I think there's also still a smaller third group, not nearly as big as those two. I think there's also still a smaller third group, especially in the fan base, that says, I still want him. Like, still just make it work. If he can be here for the playoffs, make it. Like, I think there's still some people who are enamored with that. And I think, again, I don't think this is the direction it's heading, but I think there's a part of Jerry Jones that is in that third camp. It's not maybe his whole line of thinking, but I think there's a part of Jerry Jones internally that says, I still want him, even if it's the divisional round or whatever. I want him. and I really want to make it work, but I think he knows he can't.
Well, overpay him then for this year, whatever you're going to get, overpay him, and then let Britt Brown go to work on him. That's what Odell Beckham, if he really wants to play this year, you know, and have that opportunity, Britt can help him. I know that. But it also can help him for going into 2023, you know, because he's already be ahead of the game working with one of the best rehab staffs in the National Football League.
Got a couple of quotes for you. I'm interested for your thoughts on this. CeeDee Lamb was on SportsCenter on Tuesday, and he was talking to Sage Steele, and Sage Steele said, you know, I have to ask you about Odell Beckham Jr., right? And he said, nah, we don't have to, but we can. And he kind of laughed about it, but Ezekiel Elliott was out there doing media availability today. We said, are you ready to just be done with the Odell Beckham questions? And he kind of got a little irritated, and he's like, I don't care what y'all ask me. Yeah. You know, I don't care. And then you had DeMarcus Lawrence, who was asked today if he wants the Cowboys to sign Odell Beckham Jr., and Jory Epstein transcribed this. He said, it's fair to say I'm trying to reach a Super Bowl, so if he can come and help us with that, then yes, I'll accept him. But if we're just going to do the circus, no, I don't. And my question now is, we talk about the, you know, you don't think it's just burnout. You think it's more disappointment.
Yeah.
Do you think that disappointment extends to those players?
I think the players are disappointed because they held out some hope that he would be here. And then it turned into disappointment when they knew that, man, this guy ain't ready to play. He ain't ready to help us. We got to move on. That's where I think they're at. I think there was some legitimate, hey, let's go, let's recruit, let's do what we have to do because they know the player. And then the realization set in is, this guy's 5 weeks away? Come on, man. Can't have that. That's where I think they're at.
You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Brian, enough with the dream of Odell Beckham Jr. Let's talk about the reality. The reality of fulfilling all your dreams by going to Boomer Jacks, especially on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. You know, we love telling you about our wonderful partner here at Love the Star, Boomer Jacks. And on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, they have wing lovers hooked up. Tuesdays are half-price bone-in wings. Wednesdays are half-price boneless wings. But they've got great deals the rest of the days as well. They have $3 drink specials, $15 buckets of beers, and that beer is the coldest beer you can find anywhere in the Metroplex. Wall-to-wall TVs, live music, perfect atmosphere for, you know, happy hour, watching the game, taking your family somewhere. Boomer Jacks has everything that you need. There are 17 DFW locations. You can find yours by going to boomerjacks.com. That's boomerjacks.com. Transitioning over now to guys that are here, as DeMarcus Lawrence clearly is interested in talking about, are the guys that are here. Let me quickly, before we jump into a preview of the Texans and what you've seen on film from them, let's take a look at the Cowboys injury report. Jonathan Hankins missing from practice today with a non-injury personal issue. I know you have been really impressed with Jonathan Hankins and what he's brought to this team. You've got Kelvin Joseph, who is a DNP with an illness, which I think is a little interesting because it would seem that's the bug that went around. He landed on the injury report, I think, 2 weeks ago with the illness, too.
Yeah.
So, okay, I guess he's caught something else or had another issue with that. You had Sam Williams, who's also out with an illness today. Limited were Jayron Kearse, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Quentin Bohanna with various injuries. But it doesn't sound like those three are likely to be held out this week because of anything. The other big part of the story in terms of the practice participation was Tyron Smith had his 21-day window activated. And, Ezekiel Elliott had talked about how he looked good out there. He looked great. He said, I feel sorry for the defensive ends that had to go up against him in practice because I think they're probably going to have bruises on their chest tonight. Maybe a little bit of gas and Tyron up, a little bit. I don't know how hard they were going on a Wednesday that they're ending up with bruises on their chest, but he looks like he's moving well. He looks in great shape. And it sounds like probably not this week. In fact, Tyron was walking to the weight room and the old bulldog Clarence Hill was trying to stop him and was trying to get a couple questions in. And Tyron said he did feel good at practice, but when asked if he could go this weekend, he said, that's up to them. And I think we know what them thinks. Tyron Smith's not going to go this weekend. But it's good to see him out there practice regardless. And Brian, what would you say? Are we looking at Jacksonville more as the target, Philly at the latest?
Yeah, they're going to get him through this week, let him practice. He's probably going to be inactive again this weekend. And then Jacksonville and then play against Jacksonville and then, get ready for the Philly game as well. Nice grass surface there in Jacksonville. Probably do him some good, getting to play that game. Can I circle back to Kelvin Joseph?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know the kid got sick. I know he got sick. But, man, something's got to change, right?
Always something. Always.
I know, and I there's a lot of flu going around the country, around the world. I get it. This time of year, it's tough. Your immune system, the weather's changing. You're wore down. You're not hydrated. You're not eating right. But we're to the point now where, Kelvin Joseph, you got to play. You got to play. And I sound like a whiny little bee, but Kelvin Joseph, I talk about you on Cowboys Break. I talk about you on 105.3 The Fan. I talk about you on The Love of the Star and how I have faith that Dan Quinn is going to put you in position to make plays. And you're going to, with practice, you're going to be a better player and you're going to live up to the second round pick. I know you didn't play a lot of football at LSU. I know you didn't play a lot of football at Kentucky, but they drafted you. They saw something in you. I'm sorry you're sick. I'm sorry you're not feeling good. But, man, they need you to play. You need to take care of yourself. So when you have an opportunity to go out there and practice and be ready for a game, because you don't have a lot of experience. You just don't. You played really good on special teams, my friend. You really have, but they're going to give you a chance to start a corner, and now you can show people what a talented corner you are. But it always seems like it's something. And I'm sorry he's sick, and I don't mean to rail on him for being sick. I hope he gets to practice this week. It's just not a good start to his week.
I definitely understand illness, like somebody being sick. We all get sick from time to time, have to call into work. That's certainly understandable. I think it's just, I don't blame anyone for just having skepticism in general, knowing there have been off the field issues with Kelvin Joseph, knowing there have been times where there's needed to be quiet discipline and things like that. So I don't blame somebody if they're skeptical for he just had to come out of the game against the Vikings with an illness, missed the Giants game on Thanksgiving with an illness. Now you're telling me he's got a bug again 10 days later that's keeping him out of practice right after Anthony Brown tears his Achilles. Certainly plausible that he could be sick two times in a 10-day span, I just don't blame anybody for being a little like, come on, guy, like, what's going on?
See, that's what I'm saying, though, and we know, and I'm not just saying this because of what happened, that unfortunate night. This guy is always in the middle of things, mm-hmm. You're always in the middle of things. If you're going out and you're not taking care of yourself, and this is very, very irresponsible of me. And if you folks are going to just yell at me about it, I get it. But this comes a point in time where, and maybe he's a guy that's susceptible to sickness and to flu and cold and all sure. those things. Maybe his immune system is not as strong as others, but there also comes a time where we've learned through the COVID situations where you have to take care of yourself, whether that's proper diet, medicine, eating right, avoiding people, avoiding going out, avoiding being around people. I know we're all social creatures and we're not supposed to be hermits, but there comes a point in time where, you have to think about your job. You have to think about what your job is. And this is your opportunity. This is the opportunity for you to prove to wrong that people were talking about you as a bust. And again, that's why I hope that he gets a chance to practice, he gets a chance to play and plays well. But if you're getting sick because you're out in the streets all the time, then I kind of don't have very kind words to say about that.
It is certainly at the very least, it's just frustrating timing. Regardless of what's going on, it's frustrating timing. And like you say, it's
he plays in the preseason games and he's playing well, he's practicing well. And then the first play he comes up and tackles, and then he's out with a hamstring or out. There's always something when you think he's going to get a shot at playing. This was going to be his week. And again, I'm making a big deal about being sick, but he can't afford to miss any practices. And I'm sorry he's ill right now. Again, I hope Thursday and Friday and Saturday he gets to practice so he can play well on Sunday.
Sunday against these Houston Texans, which I know you've gotten a look at. First thing I'll ask you right off the bat, because sometimes this is deceptive, sometimes it's deadly accurate. The Houston Texans, Brian, are now 1-10-1. Mm-hmm. Are they as bad as 1-10-1?
Yeah, they are, and and they really are. And because they've got some good players. Damian Pierce.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's a really good player. They hit on that kid in the fourth round. And I'll tell you what, this offensive line is not any good. Okay. I know they have Laremy Tunsil. I know they drafted Kenyon Green from Texas A&M. He's been struggling at guard. He's a rookie. Titus Howard, it was a first round pick for them. Way back in 2019, they've used picks. They've got three first round picks on their offensive line. Mm-hmm. And this offensive line doesn't do this running back or these quarterbacks any help. Pierce is a kid. He's going to run hard. He's going to bounce off tacklers. He's going to make plays. If you do not wrap him up, he's going to carry you for – he's going to get extra yards. He's going to carry you for yards. He's going to have three or four plays in a row where they don't block for him at all, and then he's going to try and find a way. He had a really rough game, against the Dolphins. He had a really rough game against the Commanders. But other than that, this kid is a ball player. He's physical. He's tough. He can run without – blocking being perfect for him. He could scoot through holes. He could get to the outside. I think he's the best offensive player they've got on this football team. We'll see what happens with Braydon Cooks and his injuries, Nico Collins. We'll see what kind Philip Dorsett. They just don't have any skilled players. They just don't have any skilled players, some of these other teams. But the one thing I think they're going to try and do is like anything else. You didn't want to get a situation where you're having to throw the ball a ton against the Dallas Cowboys. Throwing the ball against the Cowboys is a disaster for a lot of teams. And for a team that doesn't have a lot of skill on the outside, it's especially troubling. And if you're not going to protect because of the offensive line, you're going to have even more problems. So I would say keep an idea, whoever you want to take out of the game with Diggs, and then put those guys in the box, try and load up, try and keep Pierce from making some plays on you. On the defensive side of the ball, it's a little bit of an interesting group because they've got some really young players. Got some rookie guys starting. Jalen Petrie is everything that I thought he would be coming out of Baylor. That was a damn good pick for the Texans in the second round. This kid's tough. He's smart. He could tackle well. He knows how to knock the ball loose when he gets around and tackle. If you hold the ball a little loose, he'll punch the ball out. He's a turnover guy. He'll get interceptions. He had a great one last week playing in the end zone, undercutting a route there, making an interception. That guy is a legitimate player. Derek Stingley, the very talented corner from LSU, he's been dealing with a hamstring. We need to monitor this week and see where he's at. He's only played like 9 of the 12 games that they played this year. So we'll see if he plays. Stevie Nelson has been pretty good for them at corner. That's kind of what you're going up against right now. Lovie Smith is a guy that is a disciple of the Rod Marinelli system. So if you remember what Rod Marinelli used to do with the Cowboys, with the under tackle, the nose tackle, they play a lot of slant front. They don't want to go toe-to-toe with you. If you know what Rod Marinelli and that was all about here with the Cowboys, it was up the field, up the field, up the field, get in the gap, up the field, up the field, get in the gap. That's how they play. That's exactly. They're not big enough up front to really kind of take you on. The Cowboys have got to be very mindful of there's going to be a lot of slant front, and you can't get caught trying to go one way, and then all of a sudden the slant goes back the other way, and then you get a tackle for loss. So being very technique sound, the scoop blocks, the reach blocks, these guys will give up some plays running the football because they have to move the front in order to make plays. I think Christian Kirksey is their best player as a linebacker. I think he's done a really, really nice job when it comes to making tackles. He's always around the ball. He's always in the middle of the pile. I think he's a pretty good player. But this defense will give up some plays. They've been behind in a lot of games. And, it's been a little bit of a struggle because their offense doesn't help them at all. Offense doesn't sustain any drives. They get thrown in some bad situations. But I'll tell you what, they got a great one in that Jalen Petrie. He's a hell of a football player. And also, though, with the running back Pierce, they drafted two really, really good players.
Yeah, and, it's you mentioning that the offense doesn't help him out. We're talking about a Texans team that has scored more than 20 points once this year.
Yeah.
They're going
back to Davis Mills.
What was your opinion just really quickly?
I liked
who do you like better? Do you like Davis Mills more than Kyle Allen?
Yeah, I've always liked Davis Mills. Was a guy I think I had on my draft board in the third round.
Yeah,
when they were breaking down all those guys in that draft, he was the one guy that I kind of felt like, okay, if you can't get one of these top guys, here's a guy, good option for you, like in the third round. I'd love to see him with more skill on the outside. I think they got a legitimate runner. This offensive line, though, is a problem for whoever plays quarterback.
You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Brian, before we jump into our listener mailbag here, I've got to remind everybody once again about our wonderful partner here at Love the Star. It is Boomer Jacks. You feeling a little upset about some of the recent free agent news surrounding this team? You need to go to Boomer Jacks and get you the wings special, because you're going to feel so much better after that. Tuesdays, Boomer Jacks has half-price bone-in wings. Wednesdays are half-price boneless wings, but they've got $3 drink specials every day of the week, $15 buckets of beer, and that beer is the coldest beer that you're going to find anywhere in the Metroplex or anywhere else. They also have wall-to-wall TVs, and I know you, when I say wall-to-wall TVs, you're thinking, oh, they have a lot of TVs. No, I mean, they literally have TVs covering just about every space on the wall. It is fantastic. Any game you're looking for, whatever, it's going to be up there somewhere in Boomer Jacks. They also have live music, and it's just a great atmosphere for whatever you're looking for. There are 17 DFW locations, so find yours by going to boomerjacks.com. That's boomerjacks.com. All right, Brian, let's jump now into our listener mailbag. I tried to pick as few Odell Beckham questions as possible. Oh. I knew we were going to talk about that for, you know, 15 minutes. And
did my guy Dean Julia get in one? He's one of my favorite. That guy, I know he's kind of like thinking I was busted on him. And so I was busted on you more.
It was
than
on
him.
Me. It was not him. It was you're busting on me.
He has some good questions, but I will say this. We got a lot of other listeners that deserve an opportunity. Bobby, let's do a little bit better job.
We'll see. Maybe I put five Dean Julia questions in here. I guess
there'd probably be five good questions then.
First question here from Kyle Wickman.
Kyle, welcome to the program, Kyle.
Kyle is asking, do you think the Cowboys will try to extend Dak Prescott this offseason? I don't know that they do it now, no. But I don't think if they want to keep him long-term, I don't think they ever let it get to the end of the contract again.
Not again.
I think they learned.
Yeah, I do too. And I think a lot of it now, let's see what happens this year, this season. You know, there if you have a successful campaign, you know, everybody's feeling really good about, you know, it's not a one-and-done situation. Maybe you win a couple of games. You know, maybe you get an opportunity to play in a championship game. You know, maybe you feel better about the head coach, the coordinator, and all the things involved. I think the head coach has completely saved himself, if you want to be honest with, you know, if you want honesty from me. And one of my evaluations was going to be, okay, let's see if in fact that Mike McCarthy survives with Kellen Moore, they survive. Then the next year was going to be about evaluating Dak Prescott, because there is going to be a window that you can move on from him. There will be a window that you can do that. Now, I don't think, like you said, I don't think they want this to get to the final year and go through all that like they did last time.
Yeah, and I think Stephen Jones is, you know, Stephen's generally kind of reluctant to say they messed up on something. I don't think he likes to think about it in those terms. Even if he privately would acknowledge it, I don't think he likes to discuss that openly. He's talked about openly. He said, we probably wish we would have gotten Dak done earlier.
I kind of think they could have got him done. And I know that people around the league were asking me, and not that I'm any great source when it comes to money or any of that stuff, because I'm glad there's really smart guys and gals that work on the cap every day. But I had people that I like and trust and from other teams that were like, what's Dallas waiting on here? Why are they waiting? Why are they costing themselves extra money here? You know, and I think that's the unfortunate thing. Could this have been a $25 to $28 million contract instead of what it is now with more years to it? Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I think they cost themselves minimum $40 million. That's probably what they cost themselves.
I would say you're right. Yeah.
Like the contract. Next question here from De La Cruz. De La Cruz is saying, wants to ask, can you detail the strengths between the three safeties the Cowboys utilize? How has Dan Quinn maximized them successfully? By the way, let's say this. I know we give a ton of credit to Dan Quinn, rightfully so, in the secondary. There's got to be a lot of credit to Joe Witt.
Joe Witt.
Done such a great job there. And those defensive backs it wasn't always an easy process early on, to be frank, but they've connected with Al Harris at this point.
Absolutely.
Al Harris has grown as a coach, I think, since he's been here. And I think Al Harris has learned some things. But, you know, these are three pretty unique safety types in Kearse, Wilson, and Hooker. I mean, I think they all kind of do some different things. Like we've talked about before, Wilson, I think, is very good playing downhill. And I think, you know, Malik Hooker's got great range to be kind of your traditional free safety center fielder type. And then Kearse is just a Cam Chancellor light, a guy who can, you know, take away some safeties, has fantastic instincts in the run game. Like, whereas I think that burns Donovan Wilson sometimes, where Donovan Wilson's just ahead of steam. I think Jayron Kearse has pretty good football IQ and pretty good instincts in playing the run, but they all three kind of have different strengths. And I think they complement each other really well.
You have a very cerebral, smart player that has great body length in Kearse.
Mm-hmm.
Tackles well. You have a guy that plays like his hair's on fire in Wilson. Kind of a, like, you know, if you look at the number of tackles on the team right now, it's him and Leighton Van Der Esch. He's always going to be around the ball. He's always going to arrive with an attitude. He might hit you to the, well, I'll say this. I think he's one of those guys that plays to the echo of the whistle. You hear the echo of the whistle, and then he's lighting somebody up. I think that's how he plays. Hooker, I think last week was by far the best game he's ever played for the Dallas Cowboys. He was a captain. He started to show some of the traits that he showed when he was at Ohio State, playing with range, positioning, being at the right place at the right time, you know, and making plays when he needed to be played. That he was one of the best free safeties I'd seen coming out of college. Yeah. I think his health is kind of coming back. I think he got a lot of confidence in playing in that game the other day. I think he had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. But I will tell you this, he's a little bit of a liability as a tackler. He is not going to tackle all the time. I think the other two guys, I think Wilson will blow you up. I think Kearse is the most solid tackler. Wilson's blow you up. And I think that Hooker is a guy that's going to be at the right place at the right time. I don't think he's the best of the three when it comes to tackling. I don't think he wraps up particularly well. But when it comes to playing with a little bit of range, playing with a little bit of awareness, and being able to finish some plays, as far as like we saw with the turnovers the other day, I think that's kind of his bag.
I think it's interesting there you mentioning wrapping up, because I think that's I think that's a good distinction to put on it, because I don't think this is Trayvon Diggs where he's going to kind of ole you all the time.
He throws his body at the legs of the ball carrier.
He's
a block down tackler is what they call it in the scouting world. Block down tackler.
When I saw him at Ohio State, I remember telling somebody, I was like, if he hasn't had one yet, my prediction is at some point Malik Hooker will suffer some sort of serious shoulder or neck issue.
Because he
doesn't wrap. It's technique issue almost. He just throws his shoulder into guys. He did it at Ohio State. He did it in Indianapolis. He's done it in Dallas. I don't think it's an issue of willingness. I just think he's got bad technique for the most part.
I agree.
Next question here from Monique Riddick. Monique is asking, what's the recipe to make it to the NFC Championship game for the boys, which they've, of course, missed for 26 years now. You know, that's interesting because as it stands now, I think you'd get a pretty favorable draw against the Buccaneers. I mean, I don't think you ever want to just welcome a Tom Brady matchup on the road, but I don't want it, but I mean, when you look at some of the other realistic options that they may face.
Yeah, the team might be bad, but Tom Brady's Tom Brady in the friggin' tournament. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not going to be comfortable that Tom Brady's not going to beat me until he's turned in retirement papers and it's a game day where we know he's
you
not playing.
You never beat him. Nobody's ever beat him. Yeah,
you can't. And
Cowboys didn't beat him.
New Orleans just saw last week that he'll just get it done. Even
New Orleans, pissed that game away. Let's be
they
honest.
Did, but you also see he's gonna do something at the end. He always does. Mm-hmm. But I think you've got a favorable matchup against Tampa. I think you are damn close to Philadelphia and San Francisco as the top teams in the conference. I think they're all very close to each other. They all do different things well. To me, what it is. The defense, I think we know, is going to come to play just about every week. The issue for me, the key to getting to the NFC Championship game for me is these consistent times where we've seen maybe the communication hasn't been on point between receiver and quarterback. That needs to be ironed out. I think if that's ironed out and they're playing consistently well with each other, everything else on offense is going to flow out from that and be successful. And we already know the defense can step up. So to me, this all rides on the connection between the quarterback and his receivers. That's what's going to determine if they make the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that. I kind of feel like if the recipe, I think you're going to have to, the running the ball and keeping the balance that way. I think they can't play a game like where, and we'll get a really good idea if the game against the Commanders means something. And then you get Tyron Smith back in the lineup and stuff. Let's see if they can run the ball with Tyron Smith back in the lineup against the Commanders. That's what I want to see if that game means something. But when you start to look for the recipes of how to, if you want to try and avoid, what you do is you need to, winning the division would be the best thing by far, just to get the home game and deal with that. But the real recipe to me is if Philadelphia wins the division, you're the fifth seed. Stay in the fifth seed, play Tampa. We'll see how that goes. Who is the team that is, can the Commanders get past the Giants? Can the Commanders be, say, the third team that gets in from this division? I'll take my chances of the Commanders maybe being the seventh seed. Now, I think Seattle, San Francisco probably going to win the West. We'll see, with the quarterback situation, maybe not. But if you gave me, if it's Seattle, San Francisco, or the Commanders in that 6-7 hole, I would say they have a shot at going and beating Minnesota. Okay. And then you beat Tampa. Then that would kick the lowest seed to make it. Then would have to go play Philadelphia.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, I'll take my chances of Seattle or Commanders going to Philadelphia and winning a game. I'll take that. The
Washington has given Philly their only loss this year.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'll take my chances of Seattle playing really, tough defense and playing with a quarterback that's kind of been pretty good and a good running game. I'll take my chances with that against, Philadelphia playing or Seattle playing or Commanders playing against those guys. Because then if you get them knocked out, then you knock Philly out and you find a way to beat San Francisco, then you're looking at, you get to host that championship game, Yeah. It'd be a 5-7 matchup, and then maybe that's your path. Maybe that's the But I play this game in my head all the time of trying to avoid. I think avoid the 49ers the longest, even though they've got Brock Purdy at playing quarterback. I think Brock Purdy is going to be fine. I do personally.
I think he can step in and run the offense pretty close to what Jimmy did.
People are getting tired of me. You talk about something people are getting tired of me saying is San Francisco wins games without their quarterbacks throwing touchdowns.
All the time.
all the time. That's how they do that. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo has games where he doesn't throw for touchdowns and they win. So that's defense. That's running game. That's Robbie Gould kicking field goals. I mean, that's what this is. So I'm trying to avoid, because I think San Francisco, that run defense is for real.
That entire defense is for real.
But I'll say this, though, Bobby. Go back and look at the teams that they've played, okay? And tell me if these teams are offensively challenged. Ready? Here we go. They won at Chicago. They lost at Chicago opening day. We didn't know Chicago. I mean,
right,
Chicago wasn't what they are now, running the football and all that.
Yeah.
But offensively challenged. But Chicago won the game. Seattle, we just kind of talked about, right?
They were clicking early on in the year on offense.
Okay. Denver.
No, they're the worst offense in the NFL, probably.
Rams.
No, they've had their issues this year.
Carolina.
Absolutely not.
They got beat by Atlanta.
Yeah, they got beat down by Atlanta, too.
Atlanta ran the football on them great in that game. Atlanta. Yeah. And I want to say that Marcus Mariota was 13 of 14 for like 126 yards. Something crazy. Kansas City, good offense. The Rams again.
Yep.
They had a bye. Mm-hmm. They had a bye. Then the Chargers. Arizona.
Chargers have weapons, but they haven't been able to consistently put it together.
Arizona.
No.
New Orleans.
Nope.
Miami, who they just played.
Miami's great.
They've played some offensively challenged teams. They have.
Sure.
The teams that have been good offensively have found a way to beat them.
You know? Well, no matter how challenged offensively teams are, it's incredibly impressive that they've allowed.
Oh, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
In fact, if you're asking me, I think this is what you're saying too. I would, if you're telling me who is the last team I want to see in the playoffs, it's San Francisco. I would rather play Philly 10 times out of 10 before playing San Francisco.
I don't disagree with you. I think San Francisco came in here last year and you were probably a better team and had the better quarterback and you lost that game. You didn't really have an answer early in that game. I think there's a little bit of that factor of, man, this is a physical offensive line. They got running backs. They got big-ass wide receivers. They got a big-ass defense, you know? So I don't know about play, but I'm just saying San Francisco has faced some teams that have been offensively challenged this year.
Sure. Absolutely.
If you're looking at, and you could probably say the same thing about the Cowboys, you know?
Yeah.
The same thing about the Cowboys.
I mean, this entire league has been offensively challenged. It's been a big storyline this year that, you know, the offense has been considerably down, you know, over the last decade. This is one of the worst seasons offensively that the league has seen. So it's no surprise. That does it for us here today on The Love of the Star. We will be back with you guys again one more time this week to finally preview the Texans and give you any other developments we have. Until next time, we will talk to you guys later.